Hey everyone, welcome to the Torque Message of the Week. We know you will be uplifted and equipped to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus through what is spoken. Please enjoy this message from Pastor Tony Cassis. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit torque.org. Now for the message.
Let's call up Dr. Tony now. All right. Oh, very good. Pastor Natalie is coming up to the pulpit. Let's stand to our feet and welcome our pastors and leadership. We just thank you for being here tonight. Awesome. Pastor Natalie.
Yeah, Lord, we thank you for Dr. Tony right now, Lord, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just fill his mouth, Lord, with your words and his spirit, Father, that you would just fill him and let it flow out to these people, Lord, and that we'd be able to hear and receive everything that you want to give us tonight, Lord. And I pray, Lord, just bring complete life through this message, and may we absorb it and apply it to our lives this week, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Nat. Thanks, guys. Please be seated. You know, when there's warfare in the natural, the place where both parties are facing each other is blurry. It's blurry because there's no straight lines. There's no, you know, distinction. This is why many times during physical battles, even today, there's confusion on the front. There's friendly fire. So communication is essential between the troops so they don't turn on each other and they know what the reason for the battle is. If they need to take a hill or if they need to take a bunker somewhere, everybody's got to be on the same page. And this is what we need with our Open Eyes team. We need to know that their front is more clear, and it becomes more clear when we, the ones who are literally the ones carrying the spiritual burden to reach those whose eyes need to be opened. Satan doesn't want that. And so we can't afford to let our discernment go blurry. And so I've made it, you know, my decision, my commitment by the grace of God to keep even more aware of where the enemy is going to try to make his next move. So pray that, as Dr. Robin said in season casting, discernment is the big one this year. Discernment of spirits, discerning not just the enemy's voice, but also hearing the Lord's voice when it's needed. Okay? So I felt on Friday, the enemy tried something to be nasty, but by the grace of God, there was covering, there was prayer. And we're just going to just turn that up even more. We're going to counteract what the enemy's trying to do by being even more dedicated and more faithful. Amen? We don't want to cower back and say, oh, it's too much. No, by the grace of God. Greater are they that are with us than they who are against us. And greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Hallelujah. All right, tonight I'm going to share what I shared in the morning service, and the topic is transformation. Transformation is not change. It creates change, but change for the sake of change isn't a transformation. Pastor Nate's been sharing with us in the teachings recently that you can change our outward behavior without changing the motive for our behavior. Transformation is actually a motivational change. It's a change of heart. It's a change of the person. And so I felt that the Lord wanted to share with you tonight that change is really trying to polish up the old man. Trying to make the old man look better than he was. But the reality is, and this is where most of the church abroad doesn't get it, the old man is dead. He was crucified on the cross. There's a new man living in us. A man that's in the image of Christ. A man that has all the characteristics of Christ. And not only that, the Holy Spirit has made our spirit his residence. This is an honor that no Old Testament saint had. David, with all of his anointing, right, was not inhabited by the Holy Spirit. He knew God, the Spirit would come upon him, but it wouldn't reside in him. Scripture tells us that he who has given himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, we are still a personality. We are still a free agent. We make decisions. We can make decisions by the Spirit, or we can make decisions by intellect or the soul. But transformation is about the motive. Again, Dr. Robin mentioned motive is everything this year. Not just what I do, but why I'm doing it. What's motivating me to do what I do? Is it something intellectual? Is it a need? Is it a fear? Is it a pride? There's so many reasons. When you trace your actions back, you have to go right back to where the action or the thought started to find the motive. And you will find, like I did, most of our motivation is the fear or lust. And I don't just mean sexual lust. It's the I see, I want kind of lust of anything. Nice car, nice family. Oh, I wish I had a family like him. Oh, I wish I had a business like her. All of that is not started in God. All of that comes from the old man's thinking. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Are you with me so far? Romans chapter 12, I want to sort of dice this up a bit. As some say, dumb it out. Number one, verse one. I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your logical service. The word there, reasonable, is better translated logical. If you are a born-again believer, your life is now dedicated logically. The result of your dedication and your new life in Christ is a life of sacrificial commitment. And this is what the churches don't get preached. They're still trying to make the old man feel good, look good, and change only on the outside. But Paul says it is reasonable or logical to offer your life as a sacrifice unto God daily. That's where we draw from the inward Christ for the motivation, for the revelation, for the strength. And usually the trial that God has with believers is getting them to move away from their own strength and their old ego for all that they do, so that they can trust in the Lord with all of their heart, all of my heart. I'm personalizing this. And then he says, don't be conformed to this world. Conformed is don't follow the pattern, the fashion of the world, but be, here's the word, transformed. He didn't say be changed. He said transformed. In the Greek, it's metamorphosis. A metamorphosis is a completely different result than change. Because the way an insect or a creature that goes through a metamorphosis, when it goes in, it's in like a larva form, but when it comes out, it's in its adult form. And that change is where we get the word metamorphosis. And so I believe that we've struggled, especially with what's been shared through the teachings recently, We've struggled because we've thought we need to polish up the old man. When I say man, I mean mankind. It applies to the women folk as well. Remember, Christ in you is in the masculine, but he's not gender sort of favored, right? Jesus is in our women folk just like he's in the men folk. And please remember, in the eternal states, there's no male or female anymore. No father, no mother, no sister, no brother, no husband, no wife. We're all sons of God in the Spirit. So be transformed or metamorphed by the renewing of your mind. So the transformation works out or outwardly works to a new way of thinking, but not the kind of thinking of the old man. I was challenged like you are, and I'm challenging you again tonight. Commit to the Lord, not just the things that you don't know anything about, but especially those things you know a lot about. Because you've just tapped into your previous experience and intellect. And talk about the attitude, the mindset that doesn't change, the fixed mindset, that's called an old wineskin. Because the information has come into your mind and it's stood there for years, decades, and you've come to rely on it automatically because you've had experience in it. And the thing about that is it's hard for God to break into an old wineskin mindset. Because it's new, you're afraid of it. I'm afraid of it. How could it be God? I've never done this before. It's bringing out insecurity. It's bringing out fear. This is the only way to live the life of the Spirit. And so, let's read on. He goes, let's be transformed, not conformed or fashioned or follow the world, but be transformed or metamorphosis by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, just don't dice up the will of God. The will of God is always good, always perfect, always acceptable. For those who are willing, for those who don't have a fixed mindset, it might be good, it might be perfect, but maybe not acceptable. Come on, let's talk real. Is it acceptable to you to keep chaste before you're married? It's a big question. Is it acceptable to you, right, to follow after the way of the Lord and walk as Jesus walked? We struggle with it. Come on, let's be honest.
I get it.
We do. We struggle with it. And that's okay. As long as you're not in denial. But we don't want to struggle forever. Because God's will is always acceptable. You know, and my wife has brought this home. The Lord will sometimes not even tell you what his will is until you've made your mind up you're going to accept it. Because a lot of us want to know what God's will is for us to say yes or no. No. Just like he says yes to everything in Christ, you say yes to every part of his will. I will try. I pray you try. Okay, so this is not a you and me. This is us. So the born-again believer is blessed with a completely new nature. And I'm encouraging you, as the Lord has encouraged me, to tap into the new man. This is what, you know, we've researched. Nate has been sharing with these beautiful gems from Dr. James Richards. And it's all about trusting in the new man. The new man who is made in the image of Christ. We were born in the image of Adam and our father and mother in the flesh. But when you're born again, you are now receiving a new spirit from God, who's not like your father, who's not like your mother, who's not like your past experience. He's completely new. And the beauty about the Holy Spirit is he loves to show us that new man that Jesus has created through the cross. And he wants us to trust in that new man. Paul said that the Christ in him worked powerfully. How did he know that? He had a confidence that Christ was working powerfully in him. Because everything Paul did, he relied on the power of the Spirit. Why? Because God made a manifestation that he needed to rely on the Lord's strength every day. He sought the Lord three times. He said, Lord, take it away from me. And the Lord went, no. If I take it away, you're going to get prideful and you're going to lose touch with the emptiness that my grace has empowered you with. Now, that's a very, very difficult thing to overcome in because we have been drummed into our hearts from day one to rely on self, to rely on knowledge, to rely on people's opinions. Oh, God, help me. Not to mention all of the junk that teachers and universities put into our minds. All antichrist. All antichrist. Can I make it clear? Ephesians 2. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and we were under the inspiration and motivation of the prince of the power of the air. No exceptions. No exceptions. When I first became a believer, I really thought God looked down from heaven, oh, this is a good guy. Let's save him. And then when the Lord began to show me some of the darkness that I chose, I couldn't accept it. I thought, no, that's not me. And I really struggled with it. My wife will testify. She would often say, when the Lord was trying to pinpoint a weakness in my life, she said, Tony, you always want to come out smelling like a rose. And I did. Because I thought in my heart, if I really admit that I'm that dark inside, why would God ever love me? And this is what he was trying to bring home. When I've been really off the mark, he still loves me. When I've really sinned, he still loves me. But my religion wouldn't accept that. How can you love someone who doesn't love you, who turns their back to you, who rebels against you? See, God can. That's the agape that we spoke of a few weeks back. And so the new man gives us a totally different motivation for what we do. You know, my friends who I used to have in the world for about 10 years, I used to connect with them occasionally, and they constantly complained. They say, you're not like who you used to be. And I would say, that's right, because I am not who I used to be. And you know what? They never gave me an opportunity. So the Lord eventually said, through my pastors, it's time to walk away from the click group before they draw you back in. Thank God I did, because I tell you, their lives have not turned out so good. Motive, motive, motive. What motivates me to get up in the morning? What motivates me to seek and serve the Lord? Even that should be put on the altar. Am I doing religion? Or am I truly loving the Lord? Am I asking the Lord, like the pastors have been telling us, am I asking and receiving those 30,000 new chances to think like Jesus thinks, feel like Jesus feels, act like Jesus acts? Boy, I feel convicted. But it's good because it means you're convicted too. Out of perspective on life, right? We were transformed from our perspective on life. You know, the American dream, have a successful career, buy a house, have a family, and do well. It's everybody's dream. But the motive is not from God. There's nothing wrong as long as the motive is from God. So we have a completely new motive for living. I hope you do. Because in that motive for living is where the reward is. if we're still living for ourselves, if we're still trying through changing of thinking to polish up the old self, it's not going to work. Don't get me wrong, knowledge is good. But again, why are we gaining knowledge? What's the motive behind it? See, motive speaks of the heart. Motive speaks of the origin. The origin. And so we have been grafted into a tree of righteousness through Jesus. We have been grafted in to the commonwealth of Israel. The promises that went to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are now participants in through the grace of God. God, by, you know, removing some of the branches, the Jews, has made room for Gentiles to come in to the root stock of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but ultimately Christ. We used to be connected to the root stock of Adam. But by faith and God's grace, we are now taking our energy from the root stock of Christ Jesus. There's a new man living in us and he wants to come forward. Can I get some of those digital images up, please, team? Are we ready for that? Brother John's going to do it for me. I need the graft image up for the saints to have a look at. I'd like to give you a visual. It lasts a little longer. This is the tree of righteousness. This is the tree of life. This is the tree that Adam and Eve rejected. And you see it's in the shape of a cross deliberately. This artist picked up something that others haven't picked up. You see the crown there, right? Gentiles, Jews, this is where the graft is. We're all taking our nourishment from the same trunk, the same sap that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob fed off, Christ Jesus, that spiritual rock, is what we have now inside our spirit. But like anything that's growing, it needs to be helped along the way. Can we go to the next image? It's the one of the tree. So here is Christ, the rootstock of faith and righteousness, literally the tree of life. And we have been grafted in to the trunk. Some of the Israelites have been taken out of the picture for now, temporarily, right? God is about to bring them back in to the rootstock of Christ through faith. So any Jew that comes to the Lord is immediately back into the original plan. Okay? But being a Jew physically is not a connection to Christ. Paul makes it clear. Circumcision is nothing if there's no faith. Okay? So this is us. So I'm bringing this out because the Christ in us, the hope of glory, is the person we should learn how to trust. But that's not going to be done just by you alone. Every plant, every tree in its beginning stage needs a stake to make sure it grows up straight. You don't want the tree limping to one side, because it won't bear as much fruit. Every tree that is planted needs to have the ground prepared. So there's a stake and there's a plow that God uses when he plants trees of righteousness. There's a stake, there's a plow, there's a pruning hook. Every tree of righteousness needs to be pruned. And all of these processes, right? God uses people. So there's a stake, there's a plow, there's a pruning hook, and there's a weed whacker. I didn't know what that was until yesterday. We call it a whippersnipper. I was out whacking the weeds yesterday. I got to tell you really quickly, what happened was we had our pool prepared for the summer, and our pool guy came over with his assistant, and as he was putting the equipment back into our shed, he comes out and he says, "Tony, do you want the weed whacker removed from the shed before we put the..." I said, "What? What's a weed whacker?" He goes, "You know, the trimmer." I went, "Oh, you mean the whippersnipper?" He goes, "What? What's a whippersnipper?" Anyway, he laughed because he knew, I think he knew by my accent, you know, dumb Aussie doesn't know what a weed whacker is. I think that's a great name, by the way, a weed whacker. So, a stake, a plow, a pruning hook, and a weed whacker, right? Something to weed the garden. If, look, again, I'm going to use a practical example. The people who owned the house before us did not weed their lawn very often, and we've had this influx of dandelion weeds everywhere. It's everywhere. And I got the picture in my head. If we don't weed our garden often enough, it'll take over. I got online and I read several websites about, you know, lawns and how to keep the weeds out. Every single website started with, if you keep your lawn healthy and fed, there's less chance of an outbreak. Because why? There's no room for weeds. So that brought me to this next example. Can we go to the map of Israel, guys? All right. I just want to read this to you. It's out of Zechariah 14. All right. Just let me find it first. Zechariah prophesied that when the Lord returns, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. So I'll share more about this in the eschatological summer series. This is going to be another big one this year. But there's some conjecture that the Lord, when he returns from the throne in heaven with the church, he doesn't go directly to the Mount of Olives. He goes to Sinai and he leads an army on foot to the Mount of Olives. We automatically think when his feet touch, that means that he first touches the earth on the Mount of Olives, but we'll talk more about that in the seminar. Why I bring this up is what Zechariah says. He says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming," that is the final day, "and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city will go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east." Here is Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives is eastward, which is this way, around about here. It's literally a little valley. The Kidron Valley is between. And this is where the sun rises, okay? So, it faces east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west. There's going to be a split in the Mount of Olives like this. The split goes east to west. And look at what Zechariah picks up. "Making a very large valley, half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. And then you shall flee through the mountain valley." So he's literally making a way of escape for his people. "For the mountain valley shall reach to Azal," which is in Jordan. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake during the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord will come and all the saints with you. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known unto the Lord, neither day nor night. But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light time. And in that day it shall be that the living waters which flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. I want you to picture this. Jesus returns, and as soon as he touches the Mount of Olives, possibly Bethpage, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha was, there's an earthquake and the mountain goes north and south, creating a valley to the Western Sea, which is the Mediterranean, and the Eastern Sea, which is the Dead Sea. Connecting both seas. Right? And then he says, the water that flows from Jerusalem, the throne of God, begins to cleanse, right? In both summer and winter, this water shall flow, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Okay? Now, I'm going to go to Ezekiel 47. There's a reason why I'm doing this. So I want you to please be patient with me. Okay? Oh my God, what's happened? Ezekiel 47. Where are you, Zeke? The Lord brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. This is in the millennial kingdom, right? For the front of the temple faced east, and the water flowing from under the right side of the temple went from south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. So this living water stream is ankle deep just outside of the city. And then he measured another 1,000 cubits and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my knees. And so again he measured another 1,000, and he brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And again he measured another 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. So it's getting deeper and deeper as the water goes forward. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley that was just created, right? Goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Wow. So picture this. The Lord arrives on the Mount of Olives. There's a huge earthquake because remember, the armies of the world have all gathered at Armageddon. The Valley of Jezreel is right here. And they're ready to pounce on Jerusalem. He makes a way of escape by this river valley, which empties into the Dead Sea. The Eastern Sea is this sea, right? The Western Sea is this sea. So living waters are flowing this way and that way, and then this sea starts emptying into this one as well. And he says that the waters are healed. Why is it called the Dead Sea? because nothing can live in it. The waters are healed. It shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters that go there, for they will be healed, and every living thing wherever the river goes shall live. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it at En Gedi to Engalim, and they will be placed for spreading nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds of the fish of the great Western Sea. Exceedingly many. But then the Lord says, its swamps and its marshes shall not be healed. They will be given over to salt. So he's definitely talking about the Dead Sea here. So James says, a fresh spring doesn't bring forward salt water. We have a fresh spring inside our spirit now. That's why he says, you can't curse and bless at the same time. Because there's a fresh spring in you now. Not salty. What does it mean? God has now, through the Holy Spirit, brought the waters of healing and regeneration into our spirit man. And I've shown you this example because the Dead Sea comes alive not because it's drained, but it's flooded with fresh water. It will break its banks. If you show me the next map, please, guys. This is a close-up. So much water flows from the river of the throne of the Lord Jesus, it literally runs back down into the Red Sea. The earthquake that comes on the Mount of Olives will also bring this. This is called the Great Rift Valley. This goes all the way down halfway through the continent of Africa. When we were in Africa in 2007, we had to travel through the Rift Valley, and we asked our tour guide, the guy who was transporting us, we said, how far does it go up? He said, Lebanon. This valley goes all the way up to Lebanon. So when he comes back, right, this is going to be a valley of fresh living water. But what about our souls? Some of us came to the Lord through an earthquake, a spiritual earthquake. But the result of that was living waters from the new man. So as I said earlier, I know I'm encouraging every one of us to start relying on the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is the one who's fashioning that new creation. We are new creatures in Christ. But God will not allow us to rely wholly on ourselves for growth. If he was to do that, we would become very self-centered again. It would be all about me. And this is why, every revelation is in part. Every revelation of God is in part so that we don't become too independent of ourselves. So who does the pruning? Who does the plowing? Who does the weeding? Who does the fertilizing? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, God will give the increase. So the planting and the watering and the weeding and the pruning, God uses people, especially leaders. So my final word is this. Ask the Lord every day to teach yourself, I'll ask for myself, how to rely on that new man. The new man needs to bubble up, flow up. The river in us, it's all about flow. Am I flowing with God? And if I'm not, what am I flowing with? That's a reasonable question, right? When the Lord was about to speak in creation, the Spirit of the Lord was flowing, hovering over the waters. Whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's always about the flow. The unsalted river, the fresh living water. That speaks of motive. The wisdom from above is first pure. It's pure water. Its motive is pure. It's like reverse osmosis water. Pure. So pure, it wants to suck every contaminant in any container it fills. It's true. That's why you never put it in plastic. You should always drink it out of glass. Because it's so pure, it's like a magnet. It wants to mix with something. That's the Holy Spirit in us. Do you get that? But he uses leaders, people, circumstance, sometimes even the ungodly to get our tree growing straight, getting weeded, sometimes pruned. Can you show a pruning hook, guys? Is that what I have the last? Look at that. It looks dangerous, right? This is the old-fashioned pruning hook. They would grab the handle, and this is the cutting edge here on the inside. Now, usually it would go up to a green branch. It's alive, but it's not bearing fruit. And they'd go and lop it. Remember Jesus said, my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch that's dead, he burns. But the branches that aren't bearing fruit, he trims, he prunes, so that the branches that are bearing fruit bear more fruit. So there's areas in our lives that have branches that aren't bearing fruit. And guess what? He's going to prune it. It's not pleasant, but it's necessary, correct? Can we agree tonight that we're going to start allowing the new man to flow more freely? Have this thought. John the Baptist introduces Jesus' ministry with, I am the one, the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight paths unto the Lord. He will make the crooked paths straight, and he will make the rough paths smooth. The reason why we have difficulty is because the pathway of the new man has to overcome rough and crooked pathways, usually in the mind. Because Pastor's been teaching us, you can create a new pathway in your mind if you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what you should think, what you should feel, what you should say. It's total reliance. We're not there, but we want it, right? Do you want it? If there's a willing heart, God can move. Can you agree with me that for the rest of this year, we want to tap into the flow of the living water of God so that the transformation can actually take place? That will bring a lasting and eternal change, because you're not cleaning up the outside, you're actually allowing the new person to come up from the inside out. Amen. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this wonderful plan that you had even before Adam and Eve fell. You foresaw it. You made room for it by your goodness and your glory. Lord, we're destined for the throne. But before that, we are destined for a cross. And so we want to rely on the new man who's in the image of Christ Jesus. With the help of your apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, by your grace, we will reflect you completely in this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so gracious to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's it for tonight. I want to encourage anyone who's been joining us online. Reliance on yourself has led you down a pathway of disappointment. Unfortunately, the world promises power, prestige, but often it ends in a disappointment because it can't provide what it promises. I encourage you tonight to break away from looking to yourself as an answer. All of us here at our church have found, some of us the hard way, that all of our scheming and our intellect and our education is no help to satisfying the soul. That help only comes from the living waters that Jesus provides. And God planned it that way. Would you drink of the water of life tonight? Even as we have drunk and testified, it is good. It is very, very good. To enter into the living waters and the life promised by God, He asks you to acknowledge one thing. You have missed the mark. You have not lived the life that God expected from you. None of us have. And this is why, by His grace, He's made a provision. All of our sins receive their due judgment through the body of Jesus. The perfect man punished illawfully. And by doing so, God's abundant goodness flows like a river from the tree. Can we have that painting back up? I think it's appropriate. The one with the cross, the tree. There we go. Because of Jesus' righteousness and abundance of goodness through His blood, which is imaged there as well, you, my friend, can receive the living waters tonight. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins and wash me clean with Your blood. I believe that You died for my sins and You rose from the grave to give me life eternal with You. Lord, come and live in my heart and fill me with Your Spirit, that living water that I desire. And let me have true communion with You and the Father, not based on religion or any works, but total intimacy. And then finally say, I believe in You, Jesus, and I thank You, Lord, that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. By making that very simple prayer in faith is a move of God. You have now just let God flow through you, and He wants to flow more. So now we want pastors and teachers and friends, fellow Christians, to make sure your seedling grows straight, gets nourished, gets help. Contact us. You can't do this alone. We love you. The details will come up on screen when we leave the broadcast. We pray for you. Don't leave it a day too long. For those of you who know the Lord, we're going to finish off and break into our post-show presentation. So please hang around. There's a few more items yet. But we love everyone. We love everyone here at Talk New York, Talk Sydney. If you're watching, let the new man come forward. He's busting to show Himself in our lives. So we bid you farewell until next week. God bless you all.
everyone.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back. It's Pastor Brandon Hill.
It's Pastor Stephanie Hill.
And welcome back to our post, I don't want to call it a show, post-worship, post-service. Yes, because this is not a show. This is not a show. This is real life meat that we're receiving from the Lord. Post-service wrap-up.
Amen. This is what this is. Yes.
Amen. Hey, I hope you guys were so blessed tonight from worship into communion, into tithes and offering,
man.
Into announcements. Our announcements are anointed.
They really are.
They're anointed. And into the word. Man, what a powerful word Pastor Tony really just delivered for us tonight about the new man and just allowing for the new man to come forward because the old man should be dead.
I mean, that is exactly right. The old man should be dead, and we should be living with the new man every single day. My favorite part of the sermon was when he was talking about the things that we are familiar with or that we're used to doing because of our past experiences and how every day we should commit those things even to the Lord because pride can get in the way. And so I took that for myself. I'm like, I've been committing things to the Lord, but now taking it to another level to commit even the things that I'm familiar with or the things that I'm used to doing, like the work that I do, going to work every day or the way I cook or just anything, just really committing it to the Lord so that he can empower it for, and I'm always relying and leaning into the new man.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's like Pastor Tony said, it's not easy. And the one thing, first off, one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 12:1-2.
Yes.
I swear, I pray that thing like every day. But yeah, it's one of my favorite. And just from the very beginning when he said, reasonable meaning logical.
Yeah.
You know, our reasonable service is to be a living sacrifice to God.
Really?
And that's not something that's preached often. Mm-mm. You know, what's preached is gimme, gimme, bless me, but it's never preached to be that living sacrifice.
Holy and acceptable.
Come on. And that's a part of living in the new man, you know, and that's one thing that really, really stood out to me. And even just the example of the water. That was fire. Like, he didn't empty out the Dead Sea.
He did
But he allowed the fresh waters to flow into it and overflow what was dead.
Yes. That was powerful. Mm-hmm. But even the painting that he showed, I hope you guys took a look or took a screenshot of that painting of that being the tree of life.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it looks interestingly weird. It doesn't look attractive.
Yeah.
And so for him to say that that was the tree that they did not choose is something special about it. And it's really one of those things that you really have to be led of your spirit to choose the right thing, to be very discerning.
Yeah.
And just how the tree of life looked in that painting from the perspective of the artist, it was just like, wow, okay, this is what Jesus looked like. Mm. And so it just put a new perspective and a new spin on things of we have to be led of our spirit. We have to be led by the new man and we have to be discerning in this season. And that means that we have to totally rely on the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And look, if you haven't caught portals, make sure you catch portals. The kingdom isn't fixed.
Come on.
You know, we don't want to stay in a fixed mindset
of
the old man.
Exactly.
And he said, look, he makes the crooked places straight. You know, those pathways that are crooked, he makes straight. And those crooked pathways are fixed mindsets.
Exactly.
That we need to let go of so that the new straight pathways in our mind can come forward and the Holy Spirit can just flow through that. You know, so, hey, that's a portals plug. Make sure you go tune into that so that you know exactly what I'm saying and exactly what I'm talking about, because it is so powerful. these two messages, like, they connect.
Yeah, they correlate together very well. Again, nothing is fixed, and we have to be able to move at the flow of the Holy Spirit, the flow of the Holy Spirit every single day. Things switch up all the time, and religion keeps us bound to a fixed way. This is just the way we do it. This is how I've always done it. But if God wants to pivot and wants you to do something different, you should be open to wanting to do something different, because his way is the better way. Absolutely. And that's what he's trying to get to his people. So I hope you guys are taking notes even at this post-show wrap-up.
Yeah, and look, remember, it's not changed, it's transformed.
Ooh, that's so good. That was good, too. That it's was a metamorphosis, bar in the beginning.
Yeah, and, you know, Pastor Nate has been giving that to us as well,
yeah.
Like just really hammering that in. It's not change, it's transformation. One thing that was put on my heart when I was hearing that down there was like, we can change direction, but we can't transform direction.
Ooh, yes.
You know what I mean? Transformation
Absolutely.
Is a totally different thing. You got to transform the way in which you do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's not just a change of direction. So transformation is a whole totally different thing than change, you know? And I hope you caught that in the beginning, you know, because we are transformed people once we become believers, not changed.
Yep, by the renewing of our mind.
Come on. All
Amen.
Right.
So we got some shout-outs. If you
Let's
guys are
that.
Still online, go ahead, put your shout-outs in the chat, and we'll shout you out.
Yes.
We have, of course, our lovely Sydney family.
Come on.
You guys are, like, faithful. If
yes.
you guys don't know what type of time Sydney is on, like, right now it's, like, Monday
yeah.
in
yeah.
Sydney. So they done had practically a whole day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
We got Peach K. I think I said her name right. I hope I said it right.
Hey, Josie. We missed you in the beginning, so we want to just shout you out.
Yeah.
Cammy. Auntie Di.
Yeah.
Uncle Mike. Hi, you guys.
Sharia, we missed you in the beginning. Hey.
Danielle. Hey, and the fam. We love you guys. Allison. Hi. Yep, just the names of some people that are still on. So if you're still on, go ahead, give us a final shout out. Give us some of the gems that you got tonight. And
yep.
again, remember to watch this message back this week. This
yeah.
is not a one-time type of thing. You want to watch it over and over again so it can just penetrate your heart. And so that you can really live this out. We're a serious ministry. We're serious about walking out the things of the Lord. And we take it very seriously because it's transforming our lives
yeah.
so that we can truly be as Jesus is, so are we in this world.
Absolutely. And look, also this week, stay tuned. We have Open Eyes coming to you. Stay tuned because there's going to be a notification that tells you when we're going to actually broadcast it. So stay tuned so that you can be alert to that broadcast date.
And hi, Susie.
Oh, hey, Susie.
Hey. Uncle Mike says, sup, Pastor Hills. Hi.
Sup, Mike.
Sup. But yeah, again, like my awesome husband said, tune in to episode 147 of
yes.
Open Eyes on Rumble. Open Eyes. Just Open Eyes on Rumble. Mm-hmm. Again, we are up to 197,000 views,
yeah,
okay?
Come on.
That is a big deal. This is reaching near and far around the world. People are tuning in. And again, mm-hmm. continue to lift up Dr. Robin. Continue
yes,
to lift
please.
Up our Open Eyes team. Again, they're going into some dark, dark territory,
mm-hmm.
and they need the coverage of the believers as they go deeper and to pull out the truth so that
mm-hmm.
we can live in the truth, in the light. The,
yeah.
the enemy wants us to live in darkness and live in a place of where we're naive to things. But no more cognitive dissonance mm-hmm. for us. We're not naive to anything. We're sharing it. Share,
yes.
like.
All
even these services, share it.
Yep.
You'll be surprised of how many people are really looking for living water in this season.
Yeah.
So definitely share these things and tune in for Open Eyes. I heard that it might not be Friday. It might be a little bit earlier because they have a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
So.
And they want to get it to you guys. They want people's eyes to be open.
Absolutely.
To the truth.
Absolutely.
And to God's prophetic timeline.
Man, the prophetic timeline. And then I got to put this little plug in. If you have not gone to look at season casting,
please.
We are in a season of 5, 7, 8, 4, the year that we wore for the door.
Yes.
And it's all about prophetic trajectory, prophetic timelines. Yes. And even our vision, our Catch the Vision was about being on God's timeline.
Yeah.
And listen, we're ahead. We learned not to be the tail from Dr. Robin.
Yep.
And if you want to look at head, not the tail, that should be on Torque TV as well.
Yes.
So again, we're giving you all these little gems and all these plugs so that you can fill up in this season. This is not a season to put down your sword,
no.
But this is a season where we are slicing twice with the double-edged sword.
Absolutely. So look, we're going to sign out. Because we got to go home.
Yeah.
But we thank you
all. All right, Kathy Gibson again.
For tuning
in.
And also, we have a plethora of cool, really cool, I'll call it merch, on our store.torque.org.
Yep.
Where you can just get some of our production merch that we've had.
Yes.
Which is really cool because it's a message that you're wearing on you. You know what I mean? So some of the clothes that are out here today, look, they're not made by the best people, right? So, we can have clothes that we wear, you know, that say a message, you know. And our clothes on store.torque.org is really, really cool. Really cool imagery. They look really nice. And then also on there, you can get our season casting booklet where you can stay up to date on God's timeline of what he's doing in the earth. So you want to go to store.torque.org to download that booklet so that you can even pray into it and be a participant in what God is doing in the earth.
I think we done said a mouthful tonight.
Yeah, we have.
So definitely go get your merch. We just recently did Brother to Bride, the production.
Come on.
And so we have new merch out there. We have the season casting booklet.
Yes.
Again, just to wrap up some things. And again, do not forget to go and watch this sermon again and again and again and again. And look out for the alert for Open Eyes this week. Let's run those numbers up, okay? Shall we?
Yes, we shall.
And with that being said, we want you to have an amazing, blessed week ahead. May God be with you this week.
Yeah. And look, remember, transformed, not changed. And we're going to pray out.
All right.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for everyone who's tuned in tonight. Lord God, we thank you for service, Lord God, and all that was delivered tonight, Lord. So, Father, we thank you that, Lord, that your word preached will land on good soil, Lord God, and produce a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold in our lives. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for continually keeping this word on our hearts. May we continue to go back to it so that, Lord, we can live it, not be libraries, but temples, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Have an amazing week ahead, you guys. Be blessed.
Take care.
If this is your first time accepting Jesus, we would love for you to get in touch with us so we can walk alongside you in taking your next steps in faith. There is so much that God wants to do in your life to show his goodness and love, and our team is ready and willing to connect you and partner with you on your journey. Visit torque.org/contact to speak to someone today. It is our joy to partner with you and see Jesus become real, relevant, and relational in every part of your life.
Thanks for listening to the Torque Message of the Week. We hope you were encouraged by this message and stirred to make this more than just words, but a reality. If you've been impacted by what was shared, why not go ahead and share it with someone who you know needs to hear it? You can get the latest episodes of this podcast by subscribing via Spotify, Apple, or our Torque app. Need to rewatch this message again? Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel or check out torquetv.org for more amazing content. We thank you for your generous support and prayers. And if you would like to contribute to our ministry, please visit torque.org/give. From all of our leaders and team, we love you, are praying for you, and believing for you every step to be aligned with Him and His Spirit this week. Until next time, God bless.